Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, forgive me for getting too carried away with the world, and it's just so awesome to know of your perfection and your righteousness, Lord. And we just thank you so much that you've given us such a powerful tool, such a powerful weapon, that of prayer. And Lord, we know that your spirit is stronger than anything, and you allow Satan and workers of iniquity and the world and the flesh and all of that to be there to offer that alternative to you and to righteousness and so forth, Lord. And we just thank you that you have even left us in bodies that sin all the time. Otherwise, we would not be able to even sing that song, "I Need Thee Every Hour." We would say, "Oh, I'll check with you once a year and I'm doing fine." But no, we just keep needing to repent and to confess of our sins and to get back on track again. And Lord, you want that relationship with us. And so here we are this morning, this opportunity to pray. And as we look at another little section in the Bible very briefly, just to set that stage, so to speak, for prayer, give us wisdom and guidance in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, I want to continue on. We started back in Genesis, a couple of weeks ago, and we had the dialogue with Adam and God in chapter 3, and then last week we had the dialogue with Cain in chapter 4, and today we're in chapter 5. And this is a very interesting chapter because it's got the genealogy of all the people up through the flood. And in 8 times it says, and they died. They had sons and daughters, and they died, and whatever their age was. And they died, and they died, and they died. But it's broken in one place here with this fellow called Enoch. And we read in Genesis 5, 21, 22, after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So it doesn't say, and then he died, for God took him. So what can we learn from this? Well, we need to walk with God, right? So let's begin by singing a hymn here. Trust and Obey. It's number 82, I think, in your hymnal. And I've got some accompanying music here. And when you hear, it's almost like Daniel. When you hear the music, then we're going to pray. Praise the Lord, right? But turn to page 82, Trust and Obey. In the first few words, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. So let's sing along here, if we may. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What we says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way than to be in Jesus. Trust and obey. All right, so Genesis 5, as I mentioned, we read, so all the days of Jared, who were right before Enoch, were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years, and he begot Methuselah. So we are told that he walked with God for 300 years. We're not told really much about his first 65, although it appears that he did not walk with the Lord during his 65 years, but probably was much like the world, I guess. But something must have happened because he had a son. And when we say something must have happened, the name that he named the son was prophetic. And he is shown as a prophet in other parts of the book, in Jude and so forth. And he named him, "His death shall bring." So there was that awareness that this world is going to be destroyed at some point in time by a flood. And so he names him Methuselah. Now, it's kind of interesting when you look at the genealogies of those names, and not everybody agrees with these definitions, but there are reasons to believe that these definitions are correct. depending on the root you choose for the original Hebrew words. And the list first begins with Seth, in verse 4, and it can mean appointed. Enosh, verse 6, can mean mortal. Canaan, verse 10, means sorrow. Mahalel means the blessed God. Jared means came down. His son Enoch means teaching. Methuselah, his death shall bring. Lamech means strength. And Noah means comfort. So if you put those names all together, what do you have? God has appointed that mortal man shall sorrow, but the blessed God came down teaching, and that his death shall bring strength and comfort. So if those names do indeed mean that, and I believe they do, that's pretty exciting, isn't it, to see how the prophecy is there early on in Genesis. So Enoch walked with God, and God took him. So the question we have this morning before us is, are you walking with God? Is your life characterized by walking with God? Now, I'm pretty sure everybody in here is saved, so that's not the issue. We're not talking about a salvation issue. We're talking about following him out of love and really not hindering the process of sanctification that he has in each of our lives, right? He wants to change us, and he will change us. He's faithful to do that. But he also, I believe, wants to bring us along rather quickly in this life. He will change us completely when we get our glorified bodies, wherever we go. But I think we go into heaven maybe in a little different positions. I mean, I think the thief on the cross went into heaven at a different position than someone who, like Enoch, had walked with God for a long time. And I think we have a whole dossier of God's faithfulness in our lives. And as we proclaim him to others, I think we do earn crowns. There's five different crowns mentioned in the scriptures. And I want all I can get, because when I get in front of him, I just want to have something to give him, right? Because it's going to be so awesome to see him face to face and what he's done for us, and just to have a crown here and there out of love for him and out of love for others to lay at his feet. So is your life characterized by walking with God? Walk, walking, walked is 343 times in the Bible. So there's a lot about walking there in the Bible. One thing we want to remember is he walked with God. What does that mean? What direction is that? That's the direction with God, not just necessarily kind of alongside once in a while, glancing over to see. Well, I can wander all over the place, but as long as I see him once in a while, I'm okay. No, we want to walk with him, right? You know, when you were a little baby, I presume this was true for you if you had a father, and your father put you on his shoulders, you didn't have to really worry about staying with him, did he? Did you? You didn't have to worry about turning when he turned or going backward he went or forward when he went. You were with him, right? Isn't that the relationship we want with the Lord? We want to be walking with him and not straying to the left or to the right. And that means he's going in the direction that we want as well, right? Not to the right or to the left, but the direction with the Lord. So we want to also keep in step with him, right? I like the one example in Joshua where to go into the battle of Jericho, they were to put the Ark of the Covenant, 2,000 cubits ahead of them? That's a little over half a mile. That's quite a ways, but you'll never lose sight of it in a half a mile, and you never want to get ahead and get around ahead of the Ark, because then you're in real trouble. When we get ahead of God, I think oftentimes we know God's will generally, but we don't know his timing, and it's awfully easy to get ahead of his timing because I've decided it's time, right? I waited long enough. And it doesn't always work so well when we do it ourselves. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. May that be true for each of us. May we walk with the Lord. May we hear those words, well done and good and faithful servant. This morning in Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, I thought this was really a kind of a fitting, all his meditations are fitting really, but this was one from Living Unto the Lord, Romans 14:8, and so it's printed on the third page there if you want. I'll just read it because it gives us really some scriptural reference in a sense for why we're still here, why we aren't with Jesus right now. And I know we've had, we had quite a number of memorial services recently, and a lot of people are now with the Lord, right? Their walk is over. But why are we still here? Well, I think the Lord still has some ministry for us, or we'd be with him, right? Because John 17:24 says, Father, I desire what? That these also whom you gave me, what may be with me where I am. And he's in heaven. He wants us to be with him in heaven. But he's given us something to do now, or we would be with him already. So we live under the Lord. That scripture from Romans 14:8. God had willed us, each of us might have entered heaven at the moment of conversion. It was not absolutely necessary for our preparation for immortality that we should tarry here. It is possible for a man to be taken to heaven and to be found appropriate or meet to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the life, though he is just but believed in Jesus. And that gives me great hope, that statement there for deathbed conversions. I really believe that as long as the spirit is still functioning in a body, there's that capability for them to receive the Lord. They don't have to be baptized. They don't have to go to a new believers group. They don't have to be a member of any man's organization. Just believe. And so it's okay to take them home right away, it says. It is true that our sanctification is a long and continued process, and we shall not be perfected or made perfect till we lay aside our bodies and enter within the veil. But nevertheless, had the Lord so willed it, he might have changed us from imperfection to perfection and have taken us to heaven at once. Have you ever wondered about that? Don't you think we'd save him a lot of trouble? But he wants that communication with us. He wants that relationship with us, doesn't he? So then, why are we here? Good question. Would God keep his children out of paradise a single moment longer than was necessary? What do you think? Why is the army of the living God still on the battlefield when one charge might have given them the victory? Why are his children still wandering hither and thither through a maze when a solitary word from his lips would bring them into the center of their hope in heaven? The answer is, they are here that they may live unto the Lord, or I would translate that with this morning's subject, walk with God, that they may live unto the Lord or walk with God and bring many others to know his love. So that's the purpose. Great commission. We remain on earth as sowers to scatter good seed, as plowmen to break up the fallow ground, as heralds or proclaimers publishing salvation. We are here as the salt of the earth, to be a blessing to the world. We are here to glorify Christ in our daily life. We are here as workers for him and as workers together with him. Let us see that our life answereth its end. Let us live earnest, useful, holy lives to the praise of the glory of his grace. Meanwhile, we long to be with him and daily sing. My heart is with him on his throne, and ill can brook delay, each moment listening for the voice, rise up and come away. So, Father, we thank you that you tell us why we're here, that you want us to tell others, to show others about you and about your love and about your mercy and about your grace, and how we thank you for that. And so, Lord, here we are today with time to pray and so much to pray for. But may we pray for our nation. May we pray for the body of Christ. May we pray for the lost. Lord, I think in some respects, prayers for the lost are the most important of all. And so, Lord, we pray for Beach Fest today down at the pier at Huntington Beach there, that for fruitfulness and fruitfulness in just every believer's life, Lord. So you know what you will put on our hearts to pray, Holy Spirit. And so as we are attuned to you, may we all pray in one accord, keeping our prayers short and just speaking out loudly. So we know you're not deaf, Lord, but we want to agree with the one person praying. And so if we can hear them, then our agreement is meaningful as opposed to not being able to understand what they say. So lead us now by your Spirit in this time of prayer. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.